The Capital Golf Gang is brought to you by Golfdom, and the 2024 golf season has arrived. You need to get to Golfdom at any of their locations in Tysons, Annapolis, or Rockville and see the latest in clubs, apparel, shoes, and all the golf gear you'll ever need. Get fit for the latest club offerings at any of their locations and let the Golfdom fitters get you dialed in. While you're there, be sure to take a walk through their fabulous selection of apparel that will have you looking great on and off the course. Golfdom also offers full-service club repair to get your existing clubs ready, so get your clubs re-gripped. Check those lofts and lies, or upgrade that driver shaft. Golfdom has been in the D.C. market since 1982, but they've grown to three locations as part of the Worldwide Golf family. You can shop online at worldwidegolf.com or visit Golfdom in Tysons, Virginia, or in Annapolis or Rockville, Maryland. Golfdom, live the game.
4 straight down the middle. It went straight down the middle. Then it started to hook just a wee bit. And that's when my caddy lost sight of it. That little white pellet has never been found to this day.
We are in our happy spot. The Capital Golf Gang is here on the Tuesday after the Masters. And we say hello to the lads. John Ronis, Director of Golf at River Creek. How are you, my friend?
I'm fantastic. I just noticed in front of us on the TrackMan here the 85.9 yards carry with driver trajectory.
Oh, it's Lord.
You know, here that at person was looking for an extra couple yards.
Here at Golfdom, they will fit anybody. Yeah, that's right. And we all hit bad shots. John Gould, the Executive Director of the Middle Atlantic PGA. How are you, my friend?
I am great. I love the weather has warmed up, and we feel like it's the true opening day of golf season for finally.
It really is. And Buddy Christensen of Golfdom, how are you, my friend?
Oh, we're in the season.
You're looking JMU Regal in your purple. JMU?
It's
all
not.
Over?
It's not a JMU one this week.
Okay. You're gonna go off about Neil Shipley? You're gonna claim him as yours?
Oh yeah,
Ohio we're State claiming guy? Him.
He's yeah. an Ohio the Ohio State guy, the Buckeye. Who maybe spent some time.
Yeah, I don't think we knew much about him being a JMU guy. But we'll take it.
Take it. Take all the guys you want.
It got mentioned. JMU got mentioned.
Got a lot of run.
Butler Cabin.
Got a lot of run.
How cool is that?
Yes. Okay. All right. Here we go. Hole number one. The Scheffler era is here. Scotty Scheffler wins his second green jacket in 3 years. His third PGA Tour event or co-sanctioned event. As it were, in four tournaments. And he is on a run that is Tiger-esque by the numbers. I make sure to say by the numbers because it's always, you don't want to start comparing guys to Tiger. It's a good way to look foolish. No. But the biggest question I think we all have is, how long will the Scheffler era last? Ronis, you are first up on this hot topic after his dominant win Sunday afternoon.
It's a great question. One, he's going to go into a different phase now because he's having a child. And I don't think he's going to play a round of golf or a tournament until the PGA Championship.
I thought he was in Harbortown.
I don't think he is. I can't imagine.
As of last night, he was.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Was he really?
Yeah, because he talked about it. Yeah.
Okay. That's
good. Get one more in before Meredith has their child.
That's great. Then, but
then he's going to take some time off.
He's going to take a little bit of time off. He's going to play in the majors, no question about it. I think this year, I think he's not going to do as well in the PGA, but, you know, U.S. Open and Open Championship. I believe it all depends on if he can stay in the same physical kind of flexible shape with no injuries. I believe this is a 10-year run of not greatness like this because there's too many good players, but it's about a 10-year run.
All right. How many majors, Gould? How many Masters?
Well, the Masters is going to be his he's already got a two-count start on any of the other majors. So it's going to be the easiest one for him to, I think, for accumulate based on his style. But I'm going to say 6 to 8. Because it's
six
still,
to eight majors.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's about fair enough.
So – what I wanted to say, though, is, you know, we've known he's been great. Maybe that's the wrong term, but, you know, for 2 or 3 years. But he only had the one major coming into this week, obviously, and then he won a second. So it's still, even though he was that good, he still only won one during that time. So that's why I'm just saying he could be great, and obviously you were correct. You can't say Tiger ish. You got to say Tiger-ish, not
Tiger-esque by the numbers. Right. Just by the numbers. Very short sample size too. Yeah.
Right.
I think you only go back 9 months to say here's where it is.
Right. So, but I just not I'm not willing to go there in terms of Tiger-esque numbers for majors.
All right, buddy. How what's our snowfall forecast for majors and for masters?
So I think 6 to 8 is probably a fair number right now, but he's still only 1-2.
6 to 8 is a lot of
it is time. A lot.
That would be, I think, third or fourth.
Right.
All basically. Time.
He would jump ahead of Koepka. Feels like he's won a bunch, right?
Yeah,
he jump
five.
Ahead of him. He jump ahead of Rory, and it feels like those guys have won a bunch.
I think 9 is third, correct? Is 9 third in Gary Player?
Could be, yeah. Don't quote me on
that.
It
feels about
somewhere
right.
in that area.
Ask Gary, he'll
three,
tell
four,
you.
3, 4, 5.
And then add another 10 on top of it.
Drop kick you.
But I think, I mean... He can't win anything but the Masters as far as majors go, right? That's all he's proven far, right? No, I think he had not won on the tour until 3 years ago, right? Right before that?
Yeah, I actually saw a viral clip, not a viral clip, but I saw a clip of him at the 2018 Q School Finals or to get on Korn Ferry status. And they had a good video of him getting up and down, which he needed to solidify his playing status for the Korn Ferry Tour in 2018.
Crazy.
And, of course, it was an exquisite chip. He is a nearly supernatural chipper and pitcher of the ball, like aside really from good. All his other strengths.
And back to events, too. I mean, the knock on him the most recent years when he had started winning, at least, was he only won in the spring. Like, you know, he only won in this time of year, and then the rest of the year he disappears. So he still kind of has to prove that to us, but he clearly is so good that we expect that.
Right.
But you go back to his junior history, look at it, it's crazy.
It's
so this guy, and he's got it all, right? I mean, he can play the long game. His chipping is unbelievable. Putting seems suspect at times, but he could win a lot. But I'll tell you, at the Masters, Auber, I think, is going to be a tough guy for him to beat.
Yeah.
Year in, year out.
Yeah.
Like at that golf course, the way he looks on that
golf
course.
Sure.
Right.
So that's what becomes interesting.
All right. The three shots that won the Masters for Scottie Scheffler. I'll give you what I think they are, and you can either agree or disagree. The iron into number 9, which was preceded by a ballsy drive.
Yep.
I mean, a hammer drive down a tight line along the left tree line to get all the way down into that honey hole saddle so he can come right up at it. The shot into 9, the shot to 12, which, unlike Homa, who trampolined it into the shrubbery, he had check on his because it was coming down at a descent angle of a million or whatever it was.
Yep.
Boom, check, square in the middle of the green, perfect. And then the shot on 14 was kind of the closeout. Those, to me, were the three shots that won the Masters. Any addendums? Any quibbles? What do you think?
I'm going to add number 11 when he bailed out to the right, which is the proper play for that hole, especially with a lead, but the guys behind him that
Morikawa.
Morikawa and Oberg.
And Oberg.
Both, you know, who tried for the you know, one in a million shot and paid for it. You know,
did they try for it or was it a miss?
No, it was probably a miss.
Yeah, okay. It was a miss.
They were not cautious enough.
No, correct. They just didn't execute.
And I think they kept using the Hogan quote that if you ever see my ball on the 11th green in 2, you'll know I missed the shot.
That's what Hogan said?
Yeah.
I thought he said that about 12,
no,
being
this was,
right of the bunker.
This was 11.
Okay.
You know, so
yeah,
he's
2
never,
iron in.
Never trying to, to hit 11.
You know, it's those guys didn't execute. And Scheffler executed in two ways. One, I'm going to go for this quadrant of the green, which was front right.
Yep.
That was his target.
Yeah.
And then two, I know my miss is here. That miss to the left doesn't happen on the shot that he was hitting. So he executed, and he simply, and this is why, Zabe, I know you're going to get into a little bit of the bore factor, he simply executed all the shots that were necessary at that time during the Masters because he had the lead. So he just had to execute the safe shot, but he did. And
that's
so,
fine.
Yeah.
That's playing the game.
Yeah.
I also think, and I left this one out, but the second shot on 13, I thought showed some real steel.
Yep.
He's in a bit of a fluffy first cut lie. It's downhill, balls above his feet, and it was a good ways out, 230, I want to say.
Yeah, yeah.
And he he'd already visited the creek twice that week.
Yeah.
Ray's Creek. Or, excuse me, the tributary to Ray's Creek.
Excuse me.
Yes, I
yeah.
know. It's not actually
And you
Ray's
heard
Creek.
The conversation he had with his caddy.
Right.
It was just pretty much,
That's
this is
great.
What we do.
Yeah.
Right? This is what
you
we
you
do.
Do.
And but his drives on Sunday, starting on, I can't remember, 7, but they were watching the
7 was
the,
bad. 8, he kind of recovered.
The tracer was
oh,
like,
they're moonshots.
And they were like how you're supposed to hit it on this hole right here. Right mm-hmm. down that line, yeah. right down that line. Yeah. So he was yeah. – and I can't remember any shots on Saturday that won it for him, but he may have won it late on Saturday to go grab the lead. And then, you know, he was now the leader when it felt right. like he was kind of sluggishly playing. Right. Through the,
yeah, and I don't know if you're going to get into it, Zay, but 8 was the key hole for him because that turned it around. He was – not playing well
right.
for 7 holes.
Scraping.
Even though he made a birdie.
Yeah.
You know, and was still, I think, probably still had the lead at that point. He was not playing well. He was a little bit all over the place. 8, and even the drive on 8 wasn't good. The second shot on 8, when he reached the green, hit a
right.
perfect draw because he had to have a
But the
a,
chip
a
wasn't that
draw.
Good.
Yeah, he had to make a putt.
He had to make like
he had to
a,
make
10 a putt.
Putt.
Yeah, yeah that's
yeah.
correct.
And
yep.
you're
so,
right. If he misses that putt and you start thinking about
yes,
missing
that
putt.
Well, because that's a big birdie opportunity.
Yeah.
And he
yeah.
was letting them go by the wayside. Okay. Let's go to hole number 2. So even though the Masters could be termed no labor. See, Lance should have gone with that. No yeah. labor. And Scotty Scheffler, no labor for another green jacket. Get it? Uh-huh. Get it. Okay.
I like it.
Because easy win.
Yeah,
okay.
yeah, yeah.
Even though there was no labor, there was also no ratings. Not no ratings, but this is a disaster. A 20% drop from last year, according to CBS. That was the lowest rated Masters since Hideki in 2021. That doesn't mean a whole lot because it was just a couple years ago. But still, to be down that much after they were up on ESPN on Thursday and Friday, mostly because of who?
Tiger
Woods. This is a disaster. What is now going on? We've had a lot of blood tests, so to speak, early in the year, ratings-wise on TV for the tour. And you're wondering, how systemic is it? This was the blood test you get back from your doctor, and you're like, oh, no, these numbers are bad. Your thoughts?
Well, again, I've talked about the consumption of the product and how many different ways it's consumed. But I will say this. There's no question that Tiger brings the casual golfer to the TV set. So Tiger was not in the hunt, but he was in the picture for the certainly Friday and Saturday, even though he shot a million on Saturday. But he was in the hunt. So that brings a casual person. Now, after Saturday, when he was out of it, that group is gone. But I will say this, from a CEO standpoint, if I'm sitting there and this is my company, I'm going to say those people, even though it's 20% down, those people that are watching it are actually the consumers of this advertising that you're putting out there, whether it be golf clubs or whatever it may be. They are still there. That's your core group. And just because that 20% is gone, they weren't going to buy your stuff anyways. That's what I would say. That's how I would spin it.
That's a spin, though.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a spin.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, so I'm not sure of the technical way that they measure this, if it includes the Masters app, because when you talk about consumption of
I believe they account for digital online viewing
but
via
but
the
but
app.
For CBS, not for the Masters app. That Masters
Look,
app is owned by the Masters.
I know. Look, the whole landscape is so fractured. I had to go figure out how to get the Masters delivered Amen Corner and 15 and 16 on my televisions via my streaming Roku. You needed to have Paramount Plus. I have Paramount Plus, but there's like another level of Paramount Plus premium. Yeah. No, I'm not kidding.
Plus.
Paramount, basically, yeah. Paramount Plus premium. So I had to sign up for that, $7.99 a month. Don't let me forget to cancel.
Yeah.
And then those feeds appeared on my televisions. Could it be on a device, an iPad, or a phone? Of course. But this is how complicated they make the whole thing.
Right, and that's why
so
I'm worried about
are
the
they accounting for it all? Well, okay.
Well, let me just finish.
Whether they are or not, we had all this last year. So this is 20% Gould.
Yeah.
Year to year. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, it's a concern. But what I'm saying is that for the – let me finish the thought on the Masters app – is because, especially some of the hardcore people, I wanted to watch at 9:30 when the first group was on. So I get the Masters app, and I – I cast it onto my TV so I can watch it through there. So I'm not going through Paramount.
So you
I'm not
casted
through,
it.
Yeah, okay. I'm not going through CBS.
I get it.
I have nothing to do
and
with CBS and their ratings. And I never change it,
yeah.
right? So
yeah.
I, that's the way I watch it. And I'm sure there's some people who do that. But back to your original point, and the tour's been down for a lot of events, and just general sporting events other than maybe the Super Bowl are down because there's just more things for people to watch. But, yeah, I mean, there's no question.
It was a gorgeous day up the East Coast.
Yeah.
That weather could have been it.
Yeah.
My boy Hatch wanted me to go play golf.
No.
He texted me, you want to go play today at 3? I go, you crazy? Master Sunday. He went and played.
Gee whiz.
I know.
I mean, I might have OD'd on Masters coverage this weekend.
I watched all day Sunday.
I watched so much. But I did the same thing as you, John. I had it on my app. I didn't even know about Paramount Plus. I've got Paramount.
I don't think I have the
premium
plus.
Yes. I'll have to look at that. It doesn't matter until 51
right.
weeks from now.
Remind me to cancel.
But no, I think I mean, and we had going into it, we had a villain. We had Bryson right on that leaderboard.
Yeah.
We had a young buck with Oberg, and then we got multiple,
another young buck in Morikawa going for his third major.
Who's a social media. Huge
Homa
social media
Viking as I mean, yeah. It should have been flat at worst.
There was nobody missing, you know, from the event that would have said, "Oh, there's more reason for people to watch."
Right.
So it wasn't had anything to
JT,
do with
JT Spieth Fowler.
Well, missing the cut, yes.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I'm in terms
no,
of
Fowler
playing
and
the event.
His water bottle and him were
there.
Well, I mean,
I need a handle for
Taylor
my water
Gooch,
bottle here.
Taylor Gooch was obviously not there, and that's
Dean Burmeister, who won last week in Miami. Like
right.
the event
right.
would have been better with him. I just got
so
be honest.
So it wasn't that. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
It wasn't that
right.
this was not the we didn't have all of golf reunited and all that stuff, but certainly there was something there that caused that number, and maybe it's the people just – it's the casual fan or just people tired of the split.
And you can't blame it on the LIV situation because there were three of the top 12 were LIV guys.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
All right. Okay, let's go to hole number three. Greens too fast? You know, this is considered almost a statement of blasphemy amongst golf nerds because fast greens are what? The holy grail of clubs everywhere, right? The faster, the better. You brag about it.
Take some pride, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But at some point now, I can argue greens get too fast. And if I were an attorney, I would submit the following as evidence. This putt by Tiger Woods defied belief. Take a look. This is him on number 5, okay? Watch this thing. First of all, it looks like it's going uphill at first, okay? Doesn't it look like it's going uphill somehow? And there it is, and now it's going to code out and die. It's still 20 feet from the hole. Or is it going to die? Hello. It starts wandering away like a toddler on the playground whose mom is not paying attention. And next thing you know, wow, he's about 6 feet away.
Short.
Yeah, he's short because he hit it 2 inches. See, that to me is a green that's too fast. Is there such a thing as too fast?
Part of that's too fast because of the undulation of the green there. There's some crazy.
Understood.
Yep.
But that's part of it.
I saw that live, too, watching it, and I was like, oh, my God, he just hit it.
Right, what happened?
And then
it looks like an optical illusion, this thing.
Yeah.
I was looking for what I had said to you, Zabe, where the golf course should never not allow a good shot to be rewarded. So if you're in a situation where you hit a ball on the green and you're 20 feet and then gravity, because the greens are so fast, you cannot stop the putt around the hole, that's wrong.
Well, yeah. On Sunday, good shots were not rewarded. Average shots were punished. But it took a perfect shot to have a really good opportunity. And even the close opportunities, and we'll see this more in a bit here, I've got a Rory hole. That you're going to be like, wow, okay. Even a perfect shot wasn't always rewarded because nobody could make a run. Nobody could make a run at any birdie putt. They had real trouble getting the length on lag putts because, as you saw, these balls rolled out forever and ever and ever and ever. So I'm not saying make them slow like a Muni, as some of my friends were clapping me on my text threads. I'm just like, take them back a notch. Take them back a notch, because I remember the days in which the front nine, there was movement. There was guys making a move, shooting up on the outside rail, and here comes Ernie Els, who shot 31 going out, and Duvall shoots 32. Guys would get in the mix on the front nine on Sunday. There was none of that. It was a siege on the front. So I want more of that. Also, I'll this year, 15 went 0-for on eagles.
That's
13,
crazy.
That is crazy.
13 had one eagle after the first day.
Yeah.
That ain't my Masters.
Yep.
To me, 13 and 15 are turbo buttons in the video game for the Masters. They're the holes where you go, okay, I can really make a jump here with two good shots and a putt. So I'd like to see him dial it back, but call me the dummy for saying the greens are too fast.
I'm totally with you, but with the preparation that they got caught by was they expected an inch and a half of rain. They got a half an inch.
I don't want to hear that, Ronis. Stop sucking up to the green jackets.
No,
they've
I'm
got sub airs. They got sprinklers.
Saying,
they got a team of guys.
They made a mistake.
Okay.
They shouldn't make a mistake. And they shouldn't.
How?
I'm with you.
Okay.
But what about the scores at the end of the day? Like, those scores were kind of normal scores, right? I mean, what?
Yeah.
I don't care about the scores as much. I wanted movement.
I get it.
I wanted shuffling.
I don't disagree totally with it, but, you know, that's part of what we're watching the Masters for is some of this. The par fives, it seems like nine's playing easier than it used to play to me.
Yep.
Because the whole golf course is faster because everything goes
to the bottom of the hill. Right. So nine's playing easier. A couple other holes playing easier. And then some of the par fives are not as much fun.
5 and 11 are insane.
Yeah.
But they've always been insane.
But they're more insane than they used to be insane.
The Chasers, there are very few majors in the Chasers. And they couldn't execute. They had to execute. They didn't. They simply didn't.
Because the margin for error was as thin as I've ever seen it.
Yeah. Well, and Scheffler did. He shot 68.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
Easily.
Look, the course and the conditions did identify the right guy.
Yeah.
It identified the best guy. But is that the product? Because I know a tournament in June that does that.
I don't think it does.
You don't think the U.S. Open does? Okay.
No.
Not always, right?
I don't think so.
And okay.
This is going to sound like, because we've been chatting, you know, all week. I agree that the greens were too fast. I disagree that this was not my Masters. That's all. I think this has happened before.
You're just wrong.
Just recency bias.
You're ignoring the data.
No.
0-for eagles on 15.
And when's the last time that happened?
I don't know.
2013. It's happened before.
Attaboy,
I think
it's happened before.
I think the weather was in the 50s that week.
I don't know.
I don't want excuses. They have sub air.
Yeah,
they have this.
They don't control the climate yet.
I'm saying the greens were very fast, and they got crusty because of the wind, and there's no excuse for that. You're right. This not my Masters thing, I think, is selective recency bias.
5's too hard. 11's too hard. Okay. Move those tees up.
Fair enough.
Hole number 4, clowns and princes. I've got a handful of princes and a few clowns for the week. First of all, these are princes you're looking at right here. Jim Nantz, Vern Lundquist. Unfortunately, the sign-off was left a little bit to be desired. The sound technician decided to blare the Yanni Triumph of Man music on the way out so you could barely hear Nantz, and drowned out a choking up Vern Lundquist, who could barely muster a word in his final utterances on broadcast TV. But it was a joy seeing, you know, Vern his last time around, and to have Nantz pay such wonderful, respectful homage to him.
They're great.
Yeah.
It was great when they threw it
to him. They're just as good as Tiger and Jack and Arnie and those guys. These guys are great.
Yep.
As announcers?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. They're as much a part of the history of the Masters.
And as good at their profession as those guys were at theirs.
Fair enough. Princes. Young Prince Charlie here on the range with Tiger. That was a special moment, wasn't it? I don't know if he'll grow up to end up playing on any level of tour. Right now, he's okay as a junior.
Who cares?
Ronis? What do you mean, who cares?
Who cares?
That
let him pursue whatever. No, not who cares that he's out there.
Oh,
this is the greatest thing ever, but who cares if he's on
who cares
a tour
if he's, right, okay.
or whatever?
I mentioned that as I don't want to get called a fanboy, like, oh, look at Charlie, he's on the range giving his dad tips, he's going to be out there winning green jackets himself. No, I'm not assuming that at all.
It's a father son.
Yeah, but I just saw that scene and I said, wow, I lived the entire Tiger Woods era from when he burst on the scene with the baggy shirts and the baggy pants.
Yeah.
So baggy, even Jason Day would be like, hey, bro, back off.
He's got one of JT's pullovers, so he's got a Grayson pullover.
And now here he is with his son, who's growing like a weed.
And
on the range, and his son is giving him tips.
Fantastic. And, well, he would tell him where to hold the thing.
Yeah.
But did you see also how gracious Tiger was when Shipley came over.
Yeah. Sure.
And I know it's a position that he's in, but so gracious to introduce him and then introduce him to Charlie.
Yeah.
And then Charlie seemed to have a word with him.
Because he had a lot more common with
right.
Charlie
I mean,
than he did with Dyer.
Right. This is what
class.
It's all about, right?
Well, this is the game. This is the essence of the game we play. It's about the civilities and the courtesies and the respect.
The
and
video
it was beautiful
where they had
see.
Charlie kind of, he was kind of tucking his shoulder and kind of doing this and showing Tiger
it's
what
great.
To do.
Oh, yeah,
that
good
was
stuff.
Just classic.
And don't that's hate him just because of the privilege that he has.
No, you know what's
he's
cool?
Do the
no,
best
I do hate
can.
Him. I mean, but I hate him in a light way.
Fair enough.
You know, it's
I'm kidding,
cool.
by the
he
way.
He played in the tour qualifier a few weeks ago. Tried. Yeah. He showed up with the Titleist hat on. He's wearing Grayson stuff. His dad's part owner
Nike.
Of this company.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. The new, yeah, the new Sunday Red, yeah.
So it's cool that he's letting him be his own
he's
person.
A kid.
Yeah, that is. Okay. Another Prince, Max Homa. Just love this guy even more. Felt totally crestfallen when he got just a terrible break on 12.
Yep.
Was philosophic about it afterwards. I want to believe his time will come to win a major. I really do. I believe he's the new Freddie Couples. Super cool, super mellow, loves the game. Great player. Just was not his week.
Yeah, that's all you have to say.
Okay, another Prince. And there, by the way, there's the shrubbery. We could have a whole show on the logic of shrubs that literally
go to the bunker.
Right.
It's nonsensical.
Go to the bunker up a hillside and by the way, three steps off the back fringe.
Yeah, it's garbage.
Yeah. They're never going to change it. Okay, another Prince, Tiger himself. And here's a picture of him and Shipley walking down the fairway, sharing a moment. It's a beautiful shot because you get the sense of, hey, these are just two guys respecting each other. Tiger, the greatest who ever played, arguably, and Shipley, an amateur, the only guy to make the cut. I loved it, and good for Shipley. He said he was a really cool, normal guy.
Yeah, Shipley, every single conversation must have been just going, I can't believe I'm talking about it. I just can't believe this is happening. I can't believe. Yes, Tiger. Yeah, that's great.
Oh, my God. Tiger laughed at my joke. Oh, my God. Yeah, Tiger was asking me how I hit my six iron.
It certainly looked like that was going through his head when he was in the butler cabin.
Well, he was doing that nervous side eye.
Yeah, like something was
Tiger still around?
Now, he was looking at the monitor. But you know what? People were joking like he was looking at, you know, how long it was before they kick him out because he realizes – I'll probably never be back here.
Yeah.
That's the crazy thing.
That is
I'll probably never be back here.
Yeah.
This is a great crazy. Thing about golf, right? You know, that that two people who might not be related to very often. But
now send in
not good thing about
send
golf.
In the clowns. Here's Jason Day wearing that Melbourne sweater vest that thankfully Fred Ridley had a green jacket approach him and say, oh, sir, you're – sweater vest is a bit garish for the occasion, and it distracts from the actual tournament, so if you wouldn't mind taking it off.
And burn it.
Right. And then once you've done taking it off, we're going to put it in a dumpster and light it on fire.
What is it?
It's like Melbourne Golf Championship. Listen, I was told by somebody in the apparel business, buddy, that Melbourne wants to be the youth hip, not your dad's golf wear line.
That's what they want, and that's not my dad's right there.
Well, they're in that lane, but I look at Jason Day wearing this stuff and the baggy pants, which I don't, and I think, how broke are you? Like truly, like what did they pay you to wear this? This is almost like a prank.
I'm gonna find out.
You're gonna find out?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I hope he's not broke.
Connections.
But I would hope that he would go, yeah, no, this doesn't look good at all. I don't mind a clothing brand that's tailored towards younger people.
Right.
But this ain't it, dog.
And I don't think they're paying him enough to not make him broke anymore.
Yep. The funniest social media tweet I saw about that was they said he was the Marlboro man because you read it and you think maybe it does say Marlboro, not Melbourne.
It's actually a nice looking sweater in general.
The problem is,
it's kind of wide.
There's a rule against endorsement at Augusta that Gary Player ran into. Remember when he had the
ran into,
yeah,
trampled on. He basically set up a card table at number one and a shoebox to take money.
Right, logo size, all that stuff. There's some rules about that. And obviously
absolutely,
his son was selling lemonade on the side of four.
All right.
I mean,
clown number two. This guy, Greg Norman. What a stunt he pulled, huh?
Yep.
Requested credentials, didn't get them, then went and made sure to buy one on the secondary market, $3,000, had his son, Shark Jr., the minnow, tweeting about it incessantly.
Who we didn't even know existed.
Right, there was a Shark Jr. out there, clearly as delusional and narcissistic as his old man. And there was apparently 8 passes given to all 13 LIV guys. So there was passes abounding for the guy who is helping these guys become rich, playing 54 holes in shorts, listening to boombox tunes. So it was a complete PR stunt from the start. And then to have Norman tweet, people kept coming up to me and my arm is sore from shaking hands. And they said, keep going. We love what you're doing. Love LIV. It was the most delusional thing I've ever heard. Yep. But then again, it's Norman. Nothing should surprise me.
I wanted to ask for receipts. Okay, tell me who it was. Who was shaking right. your hand? Because you know that's one of the generic, all these people. Yeah, there's nobody.
And because there's no cell phones, you can't prove it.
Yeah.
You can't prove it one way or the other. And even if there was it was a typical event and there was some guys that wanted to say, Norman, you're a jackass, you're ruining golf. Nobody wants to risk their master's badges causing a scene, right? Yep. So they're not going to start that. They're just going to look at Norman and go, pfft. But what a clown week. And, of course, he's wearing his straw hat. Hey, 1992 called, Greg. They want it back.
That's part of the stunt, though. That's so, to make sure. If he's wearing a regular hat, people walk by him. Don't even notice.
He's jacked.
He really is. Yep. Very trim.
He's in great shape. He's got a LIV shirt on, too.
Yep. Well, I hope so.
Yeah.
Bought and paid for.
Yeah.
And then there's this clown.
Oh, my goodness.
Zach Johnson, who, when he won this event back in 2006, there was something about him that was a little bit off to me. I'm like, all right. Good story, Iowa kid, overachiever, hits this trappy little draw not too far, somehow scratched his way onto tour, nice wife, Iowa. I mean, who can be against anyone from Iowa? This is the first jerk I've ever known from Iowa.
Yeah.
And here he showed his full ASS on this 12th hole when he not only told the patrons to F off, which is provable, without a doubt.
Oh, no question.
He then lied about it. Here, take a listen. So here he is, misses his putt. That was for triple. Or that was for double. Sorry.
After my putt for double bogey, or after my putt for triple, I guess it really doesn't matter. I can't hear anything from, I mean, there are 100 and, well, with the downhill, they're 152. They're actual 154 away, so 152 away. I am not, I don't understand the situation. Is that, what are they saying that I did or said or...
That you swore at the patrons.
That I swore at the patrons. That's laughable. That's completely laughable.
You're laughable.
I can't hear the patrons, number one. Number two, I just made a triple bogey on the 12th hole that evidently is going to make me miss the cut, which at the time I kind of knew was pretty sensitive in the sense that I needed to keep making pars. If I've said anything, which I'm not going to deny, especially if it's on camera.
Yeah.
One, I apologize, and two, is fully directed towards myself entirely because I can't hear anything behind me.
Because it was a Bronx cheer.
Yes, yes it was a sarcastic clapping.
Yeah.
I can't hear anything behind me. Do you know how sound works, bro?
No.
It goes all around. Like, what is he talking about?
Not him.
And he directly turned.
His head stayed locked in for a second.
He picked the ball up, lifted his head up, turned back towards the patrons he claims he couldn't hear, and gave a F off.
Interesting that he couldn't hear that, but he could hear the people chirping on him at the waste management.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
From behind him.
Right. That's another one in his book. I mean, look, he gets chirped at because of the Ryder Cup. That's unfair, but he took the job.
Right.
You take the job, you're going to take all of that with you.
Yeah.
Yep. And to me, had he just come out and said, look, I really lost my cool. I called Chairman Ridley right away to say how sorry I was. I apologize to the fans. It was not my best moment. I'll be better. If he had just done that, I wouldn't even talk about it. Mm-hmm. It's the lying that, to me, says, okay, I was right about this guy the whole time.
No one can say sorry
anymore. I don't think it's verifiable, but I did read some posts that he got heckled a little bit on the tee box.
Oh, good.
Right? And
good.
It was about his coaching. You know, it was about the Ryder Cup and probably a couple of other things. So you pair that, and apparently he turned to them, similar to waste management, are you effing serious, when they were heckling him.
Got it. Yeah.
Then you go out there in the sarcastic cheer for the triple. Now you can see why he says it. And to Saban's point, lying about it is the worst part.
Well, I'm not going to deny it, especially if it's on video.
Which means if it wasn't, I'd be lying.
Right, exactly.
I would feel free to lie even more.
I've never swore in my life.
Yeah. Anyway, someone had a meme today saying, Liv has offered Zach Johnson $36,000 a year to jump ship because that's about all he can make on the PGA Tour.
That's great.
All right, quick break here. When we come back, the rest of our post-Masters week, including a Rory horror show on the greens. Capital Golf Gang, presented by Golftum, here, plausibly live in Tysons. The Capital Golf Gang is brought to you by Golftum, and the 2024 golf season has arrived. You need to get to Golftum at any of their locations in Tysons, Annapolis, or Rockville and see the latest in clubs, apparel, shoes, and all the golf gear you'll ever need. Get fit for the latest club offerings at any of their locations and let the Golftum fitters get you dialed in. While you're there, be sure to take a walk through their fabulous selection of apparel that will have you looking great on and off the course. Golftum also offers full-service club repair to get your existing clubs ready, so get your clubs re-gripped. Check those lofts and lies, or upgrade that driver shaft. Golftum has been in the D.C. market since 1982, but they've grown to three locations as part of the Worldwide Golf family. You can shop online at worldwidegolf.com or visit Golftum in Tysons, Virginia, or in Annapolis or Rockville, Maryland. Golftum, live the game. All right, we're back here inside the center, glorious Callaway Hitting Bay, where you can come get fit for your new clubs this season. Not the clubs, though, buddy, that Bryson DeChambeau was playing.
No, we won't fit you for those.
I mean, that's a hell of a story, isn't it? That he helped design them. They were 3D printed and approved a week before the Masters.
Well, that's insane.
That's just right on target with him, yep. Though.
It's on brand, though, right?
$10,000 a set. No problem.
Right.
Is that what they are?
That's what they cost to do those. Yeah.
Although, buddy, tell me this. Somebody said, how can you 3D print an iron? And I said, I think it meant 3D print the molds.
I would have to imagine. Yeah. I mean, you couldn't do – I mean, first of all, you've got the head, the shaft, the grip. It
was just the heads, and he did 3D print them with carbon. And the problem, the reason why they didn't originally get approved is because when you do that, when you 3D print, you've got all those layers, and that was the problem. So they had to buff out the layers to make it conforming.
So he really did.
Yes.
Wow, it wasn't just the molds that he 3D printed. Okay.
The heads, obviously, but 3D printed them.
I don't even understand what
3D printing is. I want it's printing, but it's 3D. And
I can't fathom it. You can't even explain it to me.
There's a Cobra putter that's 3D printed, but I still don't really understand what 3D printing is.
No idea.
You just hit a button.
Is there a printer? Is there a paper? Is there?
Yeah, we're in the age of 3D printing irons and AI designing club faces.
Right.
We're a long way from whipping and lead tape.
Right. Totally. Right. Totally.
From whipping and lead tape to AI and 3D printing.
Right.
Okay.
I think 3D printing is kind of like bounces, right?
It doesn't it's unknowable.
It's going to bounce.
It, it is a thing that exists, but nobody really knows
I'm gonna look it up on the internet.
It won't help you.
And it won't lie.
You'll learn strokes gained before you learn.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, that's another one that nobody knows what it is.
Okay.
Somebody calculates it and we recite it like guppies to sound smart.
Okay.
Well, he's fifth in strokes gained.
I have no idea.
Oh, yeah? How is that calculated? Then it's like the scene in Seinfeld where they ask Kramer about write-offs. Remember?
And
he gets flummoxed, and he finally just goes, Jerry, they're the ones writing it off. Okay, hole number five, a Rory horror putting story. I didn't believe this when somebody tweeted it, but on Sunday, Rory hit three par fives in two. Numbers 2, 8, and 13, and still shot even par on those three holes. How is that even possible? Well, let me walk you through it. Here we are, Rory on number two. He has bombed a drive way over the bunker, right side of the fairway, hits a mid-iron. Look at that. Perfect. Middle of the green. It takes the big horseshoe thing, and there it lands 8 feet. Hold on a second.
He's three putting from there?
I told you it was a Rory putting horror story.
I watched a lot of it live, too.
Oh, my goodness.
I thought it was going to stop up top, and I can see you three putting that. But how do you three putt
that? How do you three putt this? Like 8 feet?
Okay. Obear made it from up top.
All right, so there he is right there. He's 8 feet straight downhill. Yeah, Ronis' eyes are bugging out. Yes. All right, so here was how he finished out. little tap, tap, little push, gets slippery, goes by.
Greens are too fast.
Well, and then that putt was just terrible. Yeah, a three-footer coming back.
Well, the
just
first putt was terrible.
Was it really? Why?
Because it's 3 feet past.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. So there you go on that. All right. And then here we go on 13. Great shot in. He's in back middle of the green on the top tier. Pin is down on the lower right tier as you're facing the hole.
Yep.
And here was his effort. I'm not going to tell you how many putts he took to get down from here, but it's more than two. Look at how mediocre that is. Why do the mark by a good 15 feet? And then there's this. He starts walking here. I mean, halfway to the hole,
yep.
Ronis. And it misses by three cups to the right and then just keeps going and going and going. Now he's got 10 feet back, and that's a four putt right there.
Okay.
Okay.
So how do you get to even?
So he birdied.
Did he birdie the last one?
He got up and down on 15 from over the back, hit a great second shot in, just missed catching the back of the fringe that would have kept it on the green. So a great chip that just trickled over and he made the putt, which, okay, give him credit for that. But the bigger story is, Ronis, he can still dominate long par fives or par fives. He can't putt. His putting is a horror show right now.
Yeah, and I don't think that he has it. I don't, and that's an indicator right there. It's putting is all about speed control. So once you establish speed control, then you can start to sink in all the other stuff. But until you have it, you can't. So he doesn't have the ability for speed control. The first putt was not that it missed right or missed left. It said it missed 3 feet by the hole. Now, that other putt, he must have had the speed a little bit off because it never took the break, and then it ends up 15 feet left of the hole. I'm just saying speed control is the starter, and it's not negotiable. And then once you do that, then you can learn how to play break and all the other stuff. But until you can feel speed control.
It's not negotiable.
Think about
it. I like that
away.
Term.
How could you teach that? How do you teach? It's 30 feet away. Okay, we're just going to take it back this much. What if they're slower? What if they're faster? What if there's break?
For that?
It's just, I can't teach it.
The funny thing is the irony, right, that Rory gave Scotty the putting tip.
That moved, that fixed his putting.
Moved the needle for Scotty.
Now.
And Rory either, you know, I can't say that he had it and lost it. He probably never had it.
He was never a great putter. I remember when he was working with Dave Stockton and he won a congressional here in D.C. and they were talking about how much better he was putting. He was a young lad then with big puffy hair.
And he was also hitting the ball close to the hole.
Right. Well, that's true as well.
You know that Scheffler went to a putting coach that was not his swing coach.
Oh, really? A specialist?
Yeah. He, whoever he went to, but his Rick Smith, I believe, is his swing coach. And he had to go to Rick and say, I think I'm going to try this putting coach. And fortunately, Rick Smith's had enough success in his life where he put his ego aside and he said, let's go with it. And that's what changed it.
Wow. Okay. Buddy.
Well, Rory did start putting well when he switched over to the mallet, I think, for like a week or two, right?
Yeah.
But when he walks on the course, he doesn't feel like that guy is going to take control of this tournament like it used to.
Too many stupid bad shots. Seems like a 9-iron or something, they pull it.
Also missing greens with wedges,
right?
Too.
Yeah.
Like his distance control is all over the place. By the way, today, distance, non-negotiable.
Yeah.
Today, Rory sat down with Todd Lewis to address rumors he was going to live for $850 million and a 2% stake in the company. And he said, no, not happening. Says he's going to play the PGA Tour the rest of his career.
Well, that'd be
right?
Nice.
Right, Ghoul? You said you saw it today driving in?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And Randy Smith was the coach.
Randy Smith.
Coach.
Not Rick Smith, but Randy Smith.
Yeah,
okay.
Randy Smith. Good pro out of Texas. Yeah.
Back to the distance thing, Ronis. This is something that I talked about a long time ago with a buddy. You know, new golfers like to say, how hard should I hit it? How hard should I hit it?
Yeah.
And I joked. I said, well, what would the answer be? Newtons? Because that's a measurement of force, right?
Right.
I give it 1.6 newtons, ought to be good.
There is
no hard measurement for force to hit it. How hard should I hit it?
Yeah.
You have to have that athletic t- touch of this will work, and also a lot of experience, a lot of time spent.
The amazing thing is I could tell you what 1.2 newtons is, but I don't know about a 3D printer.
Well, you also have to stroke it well, right? Once you decide how hard I'm going to hit it, you got to hit it where you need to hit
right.
it.
And, right.
Or that should be like, come on, how hard is that?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. All right, hole number six, Ludvig Åberg Oberg arrives. This kid is something else. He went the whole tournament without a three-putt. Whole thing.
Wow.
Yep. 72 for 72, not a single three-wiggle the whole time.
And
pretty impressive.
Too fast.
Well, not for him.
Yeah, okay.
But there's a very few people they're not too fast for. how good is Åberg going to be?
It's going to be amazing. I mean, that's his first – everybody says it was his first Masters. It's tough to do it in your first – that was his first major.
Right.
So the pressure, the peculiarness of the greens, man, he is built for that course.
And he went into it, he was not completely under the radar. Like, people knew about him. He didn't walk into this with nobody knowing who he was.
Right.
And he looked relaxed playing there Sunday, going to the back nine.
Kind of like the demeanor, when he knuckled a fan and dropped his power bar, but then did a quick 5-second rule. And then decided not to pick it up.
And it was so funny.
He thought about, like, I could probably still eat that. He's like, no, they got more of those.
Well, and he didn't want to seem like he was picking it up. And then he looked at the fan and he went,
slumped
shoulder. Right. Like, you just made me sad. I mean, it was a nice confrontation there. It's the
golden retriever of shame look,
right?
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I really like him, and he's obviously very talented. But, you know, sometimes we get these talented young guys – and they sometimes don't fulfill. Hole number seven, Live Another Day. Here's your boy Bryson holing out on 18 for birdie on Saturday. Fans loved it. Bryson loved it. Wasn't the best week for Liv. There was a couple of decent finishes. Cam Smith, who seemed to get a blackout from CBS. I didn't see hardly any shots of his. He was lurking. DeChambeau also pretty decent week, but some pretty big names. Absolute not in there at all.
But 25% of the top 12 were Liv.
Meaning?
Three of the 12 were Liv.
Okay.
Last year there were three of the top five.
That's the thing. Last year, two guys really pushed for the green jacket in Phil and Koepka.
Yep.
So this year, not so much. It's a downward trend, kind of like the ratings. So is this going to continue with Liv guys as they blunt their blades playing resort courses, listening to Nelly?
Of course.
At 104 decibels.
Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
All right.
That's why they want to get back in the mix.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's exactly right. I think there's almost no way not to, because you just can't simulate the pressure of a PGA Tour event with PGA Tour conditions.
Cam Smith.
Not to mention the majors.
Cam Smith had a lot to play for in that, because I don't think he's back. When did he win the Open Championship? That's
a three-year
exemption, right?
Two years ago.
So he would still be back, I guess, at the Masters. But, those guys are
so he doesn't – Cam Smith does not have a limitless runway of exemptions going forwards.
No.
Yeah, okay.
All based on major play.
Hatton had a big Sunday and kind of made a run, but he's only a couple months removed from the tour. So, it'll be interesting to see if that just
continues.
Both
but not top 12.
Kind of back
Hatton,
door.
No.
Yeah, but
so he's not coming back next year.
All right. This guy here looks –
he plays well in the major.
This guy looks familiar. I swear he's won an event or two. Who's that?
It'll be Dustin Johnson.
DJ. Okay,
Paulina's husband.
He played in the event. I didn't see him on TV. That's a photo I found on the internet. It was a tough search, though.
Nice.
John Rahm, old Legion 13, the pink lion logo thing. I mean, he was seemingly just very not with it.
Give him a little break because the defending champion has a lot of distractions.
Okay, fair enough on that.
And I think he probably was trying too hard, really, because he wanted to prove that he left and he still had it.
Yeah, he basically overtried.
Yep.
And then Koepka. Koepka was a nothing burger all week.
Yes.
I think Koepka didn't even beat Ollie. Olathabal, I believe, came in a couple strokes ahead of Rahm and Koepka.
Right about the same, yeah.
That's incredible.
And he shot even on the last day. Him and DJ both shot even on the last day.
Yeah, because those guys grind.
Yeah.
They know how to grind.
Koepka don't care.
And they choose to grind, and these guys don't care. No. Not with $100 million in the bank. Right. Koepka has a baby, beautiful, although the baby has some weird headgear. I saw his lovely wife, Jenna Sims, getting the baby ready for the course. Some photos there.
That flathead syndrome. No, no, I'm serious.
It's a thing, right? Yeah, when a certain birth, it happens.
They lay down and their head gets flat, so they just put a helmet on. It's no big deal.
Okay. Hole number 8. Joy Boys No More. Remember this photo of good old Justin Thomas with a cheeseburger wedged in his mouth, arms across his legs, and a young Spieth next to him at some junior event. We all loved it. Like, oh, now look at them. They're the two big faces of the PGA Tour. Well, they had weeks to forget. I mean, look at that photo of agony right there on Jordan Spieth, who is really, really lost in the weeds. And there's old Michael Greller. He used to be the smartest caddy in the world, you know? Oh, Greller's the best, right? Greller's thinking about getting that teaching certificate back up and running again, I'm sure. And then, of course, this photo. This is the greatest photo I think I've seen. Look at all the arms and left, four left on Justin Thomas. That looks like it's on 18 as he was unraveling on Friday to miss the cut.
That was unbelievable.
Yeah.
So will the Joy Boys make a resurgence?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, you're saying they will. There's too much talent, and they love golf too much.
They do, and they're right now they're settling into, I think, their hardest part of life, and that is the children.
Spieth has two children.
Yeah.
Justin Thomas just got married. No kids yet,
I don't think so.
Okay.
And you never know. I mean, you never know what's going on at home. You know, maybe he's trying to have kids and can have kids.
Oh, yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Right?
It's very difficult for these guys at this stage of their life. It's difficult for all of us at this stage of our life, but imagine having to allocate the amount of time it takes to play professional golf.
I also think in our society today, the modern American woman has a different set of expectations than maybe Barbara Nicklaus did back in the day.
No question.
I'm not trying to throw shade. I walked up to that as gingerly as I could.
No, there's no question.
But, yeah, I mean, Barbara Nicklaus is like, yeah, go play golf. Yep, Jack, you need to win. Yeah,
thing is they think that that's the perception, too. Like, they think, God, I've been gone for 8 hours. I better get home. And
oh, right. They put that pressure on themselves.
Yeah, because that's how other people do it. But the fact is you're a different person.
Yeah.
You know, you're a superstar. And, by the way, you don't get paid unless you play well.
Yeah. What I would say to that answer to that question is if good old Rick Flowers could make it back from the depths and come back and be back to being competitive on tour, those two guys are more talented and certainly can.
Okay, fair enough. I would say the old Rick Flowers has made it halfway back.
Yeah.
Because he's competitive, not terrible, but he's not really pushing to win. He won in Detroit last summer. That was great. We were all happy for it.
The problem is now.
And the U.S. Open, he was.
Yeah, he almost won. But one arm is now significantly longer than the other from carrying the water bottle every round. He's starting to look like one arm is like an orangutan. What's going on? I'm going to find out about that. My information, my people that I get information, won't even, like, I'll ask the question multiple times during a conversation, and it veers quickly. Do you think I could do a fitting tomorrow? I have some driver issues. I'm like, you got to have to answer that question at some point. What's up? Is he getting paid $1 billion?
Right.
Or what is going on with the water bottle? Yeah.
Well, if he shows up next week with one of those helmets with the straws and the two can holders, then we'll be concerned. Then he's really like, he's got a hydration issue right there. Okay. All right. Final hole today, and this is not Masters related. I've seen many viral golf videos that have made me laugh and my jaw drop. This is in the pantheon of all-timers. Have you seen this one yet?
No,
have not seen this.
I have seen this one.
Okay, Gould has seen it. He always sees things. Buddy, you're going to like this. John, you're going to like this. This is a homeowner at a golf course, on the golf course itself, wearing this green shirt. As you see here, he looks like he's at least 70 years old, whose house apparently had just been hit. Here was the altercation that ensued.
I'm a mad fucker right now.
I know, I bet. I have windows too.
Yeah. What's your name?
Vitaly.
All right, Vitaly. You owe me $681. I'm damn mad at
I gotta stop it right there. First of all, how did he get a dollar accurate quote so quickly? 681.
Maybe it's happened before.
And then he takes, I presume it's his club, not one of their players. Yeah. Maybe he came out with one and he just pops the tire of the cart. Sir, if that's a private or semi-private club, you're paying for that cart, so don't damage the cart, okay?
You see the guy in the seat? He's leaned back with his legs crossed.
Yeah, he didn't even move.
He's right, like, because the guy in the cart is like, hey, today was not the day I was going to snap a 75-year-old in two like right, a twig, exactly. So I'm just going to sit this one out. This
and the guy survived. In the tee is the one filming, which is funny, too.
Yeah. Right, okay, so hold on a second. Let me get this. Oh, gosh, hold on a second.
Fantastic.
Guy has flip-flops on, too.
Yeah, well, he's in his house.
No, okay. The guy playing golf.
The cart.
I'm not mad. Oh, fucker right now.
I know, I bet. I have Windows 2.
Yeah.
I have Windows 2.
What's your name?
Vitaly.
All right, Vitaly. You owe me 681 bucks.
Bop.
I'm damn mad at shit. Yeah. You can't hit this damn thing. It's 200 yards wide.
The fairway he's talking about there.
Slice and slice.
Yeah, you're sorry. I'm out of window.
Now, this is great. Watch this. Starts walking away. Stanza.
Go to the next hole.
I haven't hit you.
Yeah, I haven't hit it.
It's going to be all of us. It's going to be all of us.
It better not be me.
Yeah.
I better not care.
It'll be me as a ranger.
Go to the next hole. I haven't hit yet. Hit it.
It's great.
Oh, my God. Great. People, there's a lot here to unwrap. You live on a golf course.
That's exactly right.
It looks like he played earlier in the morning. He's dressed like he just played.
I know. You live on a golf course, number one. Number two, you have insurance. Number three, one day you're going to run into a liquored up foursome of dudes who don't have as much discretion. And they're going to stuff you upside down inside a garbage can. Mm-hmm. And that's not going to be good for you. So, I don't know. What are your thoughts on it?
My thoughts are, if I ever came and spoke, Johnny, at one of our section meetings,
yep.
And they said, you know, what are some of the things you kind of recommend and don't recommend? I said, well, there's one thing that I don't recommend to any of you in this room ever, 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 and that's be a director of golf at a club with a neighborhood.
Which you do.
Which I
do. River Creek has houses right
disaster.
On the courses.
Disaster every single day, all day long. And we deal with this. And you can never, by the way, get it straight. What is the law? What is the rule? You never get it straight. The police come. I mean, it's just fascinating. But that would be my advice to a young pro.
You know, I had a good buddy, Mike McGowan, who quit River Creek years and years ago because he kept hitting golf. He kept hitting houses. And he said it left him with golfing PTSD, basically.
Yeah.
Because
well,
he was
far away, though. I mean,
No.
Wow, not for him.
Not
believe
for my
me,
boy.
I gave him a lesson.
I know.
And it was wild.
I know. They're not that far away at
well,
River
for
Creek,
him,
I
guess
think.
They're not. I never hit a house. And
well,
I can
that's
hit
that's a
driver.
A humble brag
well, I can
right
hit
there.
A driver sideways.
Okay. All right. So we got a minute or two left just to get final thoughts on the Masters. Buddy has been teasing me saying, oh, yeah, excited for Harbortown this week? Because, you know, basically.
Not my Masters.
Yeah, right. Because I was saying, this is not my Masters. Buddy, yes, I am excited for Harbortown, even though it's not what it wants. It's not the Masters, but I'm still excited for it.
Well, you should be, right? You played it a few times.
Yeah, keep talking. You're good.
Yeah, all right, good. No, I think, you know, you won't have to watch greens that are too fast, for sure.
Well, they're too small, that's for sure. Greens too small at Harbortown.
I know. Come on, Dave.
What do you mean? You can't say they're too small, too fast? Have you played there?
No, you're right.
Tiny.
But, like, sometimes we just have to say
I know. Great. I played there last year and had a wonderful time. Charlie Baker, who's a caddy there, got me on. And
I've heard that
I played
a million
okay.
times. The greens are ridiculously small.
Yeah,
it's
no,
not,
you
not
no,
Pete
you stand
Dye's best design.
Well, you stand on the green and you look around like, is this it? This is it. Okay, this is the whole green. You know,
great.
And they got tricky angles, but it's beautiful. This time of year, it's beautiful. I've never been there in early spring to play. This is when the course, and in the fall when it's at its premium. But buddy, you and your buddies go to Hilton Head. In the fall, right?
We've gone the last 2 years to Hilton Head, and we played there last year.
And how was it?
I didn't love it.
Yeah. Why not? Condition-wise?
It just felt – I mean, it's a resort course, but it just felt really resorty. It didn't feel – and so we actually played the last three holes in the dark. Actually, couldn't even really play 18.
Why not? No, because it was too slow?
It was so dark.
Yeah,
we started later in the day, I guess. Okay. It was our travel day in and play. So, again, you miss out on 17, 18. You kind of miss the whole
tough.
Golf course.
Right.
Okay. All right. Other thoughts as now spring has come upon us here.
Well, Zabe, I want to go back to the Masters and not my Masters thing. I want to go a little Max Home on you and get a little deeper.
Okay.
In terms of appreciation, we get caught up in it wasn't the way it used to be, and we miss the fact that there was four guys tied on the eighth hole for the lead.
Right.
It was exciting. We had the right champion. Three holes later, a lot of things changed, but. You know, I'm channeling Max Homa here and saying that we just be appreciative of what we have. We had a great championship.
I know.
You know, it
and
was,
it's over. We
got to
wait
over,
a whole nother year.
Correct.
For it. You're right. You're right. I should not have been so persnickety. All right, what's happening in the region now that it's spring? Grasses are coming up, all kinds of weird wild grasses in my yard. It's green, it's lush, but there's some dandelions. Can't stop that from happening.
We got a couple big things coming to the area. We've got the National PGA Junior Championship at Congressional. We've got the National Mid-Am, the USGA Mid-Am at Kinloch and Independence. We got the Solheim Cup at RTJ. Those are all summer to fall events. So pretty exciting from a spectator's perspective for all of us.
Okay,
it's good.
Ronis out there at River Creek, you still teach lessons?
Good. I mean, the big news is that I got the first cut in at the Waterford 4, F-O-R-E, and it looks good this year.
This is your backyard pitch and putt.
Four holes. Yeah.
Nice. I've yet to play it.
Very big news. Well, you really should come
out. Did you get my application for membership? Is it under review right now?
We're reviewing it. We're getting some references.
We heard you said some negative things about Augusta, so we're not sure we want to admit you as a member.
Right, when, of course, my greens are cut to an inch and a half.
Buddy, here at Golfdom, your fitters are in full bore to get people dialed in for this season.
Yeah, we got past that little final cold spell, and now Masters is behind us, and we're into the season.
Okay.
Come get fit for clubs, people. It is, first of all, fitting is awesome, but the clubs are so good this year. Come get fit for clubs.
Yeah. My good friend Jeff Sheehan used to captain the Potomac Cup for Maryland. He used to say in his Texas drawl, you know, Zabe, it ain't the arrow, it's the Indian. And now he says, but they're making pretty good arrows now.
Yeah, they're making great arrows.
All right. For the rest of the guys here on the Capital Golf Gang, thank you once again to Golfdom for having us here in Worldwide Golf, not only here in Tysons, but also in Rockville and in Annapolis, and, of course, on the web 24/7, 365. When at 2 a.m. you found something putting on your carpet and you got to order something.
Who would we be talking about there?
That would be me. Until next week, thanks for listening, and we will see you next time. The Capital Golf Gang is brought to you by Golfdom, and the 2024 golf season has arrived. You need to get to Golfdom at any of their locations in Tysons, Annapolis, or Rockville and see the latest in clubs, apparel, shoes, and all the golf gear you'll ever need. Get fit for the latest club offerings at any of their locations and let the Golfdom fitters get you dialed in. While you're there, be sure to take a walk through their fabulous selection of apparel that will have you looking great on and off the course. Golfdom also offers full-service club repair to get your existing clubs ready, so get your clubs re-gripped. Check those lofts and lies, or upgrade that driver shaft. Golfdom has been in the D.C. market since 1982, but they've grown to 3 locations as part of the Worldwide Golf family. You can shop online at worldwidegolf.com or visit Golfdom in Tysons, Virginia, or in Annapolis or Rockville, Maryland. Golfdom, live the game.